Pardon the interruption. Again, it is my hope that as the year draws to a close, you would like to partner with us at Fortis Institute. Why? Oh, the Lord is opening so many doors. We're getting to do so many things and reach so many people. And the more people support us, the more we will use those gifts to reach more people with the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. We'll do it through publishing, social media, resources, TV, radio, podcasts, and events. We're going to 12 campuses next year. So if you have the discretionary funds as the year draws to a close and you would like to partner with a ministry that is really intent on reaching people with the gospel, we'd be super grateful if you'd become a gospel partner and take advantage of our match giving campaign. You can do that at fortisinstitute.org/donate.
Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
God gave me a Ferrari because I am a Ferrari. You're a Ferrari too.
When God made you, He had all the options put on. You are fully loaded and totally equipped.
So do this with me.
Where did we ever come up with the style of preaching we have today? There is some entertaining preaching, but not convicting preaching, and the legacy has been tragic.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Would you like to know the four magic words? Of course you would. This is Wretched Radio. There are four words that are biblically endorsed that have power in two situations. A, when we evangelize, we must be using these biblically ordained words. Two, if we would like to proclaim to an increasingly darkened society, hey, what you're doing is evil, we need to be using these four words. Would you like to know what they are? Jimmy, do you know what the four words are?
Absolutely.
Oh, boy.
What?
This is, you know, it's like I just put a loaded gun in your hand. Just feel free to shoot anywhere you want. We'll ask questions later. Okay, what are the four magic words?
John MacArthur Study Bible. That's not it. Okay, let me try again.
It's not that that wouldn't actually work, but those are my four magic words. Okay. You want to try it again?
Go serve your king.
Oh, that's those very, very good words. But the four not magical, biblically ordained words that have power because they have God's backing and God's authority are, thus saith the Lord. You want somebody to get saved. You want somebody to be convicted that what they are doing is BAD terrible. We need to bring in an authority that can definitively determine that action is bad. And if we do not return to invoking God's name in our moral arguments with culture, we're going to continue to lose. Christians are not ready for the age of adult AI. This was an article at Digital Liturgies by one Samuel James that I was rejoicing because he was demonstrating the imperative of returning to biblical language when it comes to denouncing activities that the world currently winks at. And the issue in his mind that he was talking about was digital pornography. It's his contention that within 20 years, there will be no human porn. It'll all be AI generated. And that means we're going to lose some of our arguments. What are some of the accusations that Christians, evangelicals have made, whether it's on cable news or blogging or just discussing it, to try to persuade people that porn is really awful? They will say it hurts women. Does it hurt women? Yes. Yes, it does. We should know, however, that the women, at least in the West, at least in America, they do it for the paycheck. That's why they do it. And they would say, it's not hurting me. We know better. We know that it hurts them. It objectifies them, women and men. The whole thing is just horrible anthropologically. But they would say, well, it doesn't. All right. Well, we say that it does. Now, what if this fellow's prediction is correct and that human women aren't needed anymore. Where's our argument? It's gone. It hurts. Well, it hurts the people who have to design it, and it's still just pixels. What's your problem? And we are out of steam. Second argument that we tend to use as Christians, and it is valid. Please note, porn is bad for women, men. It's bad for everybody. That's not the point. When it is no longer actual people, that argument is deflated. So also is the argument that it is promoting sex trafficking. Because first of all, in the West, most of the people involved in that industry were not sex trafficked. Now, it could more overseas, granted. But let's just say in America, that's not the majority of instances. Regardless, we can debate that statistic later. When it becomes AI, then there is no sex trafficking. It's nothing but a computer image. And suddenly we find ourselves going, well, what are we supposed to say? The four magic words. Thus saith the Lord. None of the arguments have been wrong. For instance, the marriage issue. I've heard many people say, hey, it's just not God's best. Well, that's true, kind of bare minimum, but it's more than that. And you could say, well, it is damaging in that the people who participate in those activities are the sexually transmitted diseases. That's true. The problem, of course, is when they come up with medications for these things, that threat is gone. What are we left with? Thus saith the Lord. Why is porn wrong? Because God says so. Let me take you to this article with appreciation to Samuel James. He writes this, this misconception of the two aforementioned arguments leaves anti-porn activists unprepared to address either the boom of websites like, well, apparently there's a website that people can post their own homemade porn that, by the way, generates $5 billion. These are people doing it voluntarily just to make money. So this misconception about these aforementioned arguments, arriving at porn's moral illicitness via its harm to the ones who produce it, Christians and other cultural conservatives are going to be hard up for answers as to how AI-generated porn harms anyone. Honestly, our arguments have not gained steam. They gained no traction with our culture. Look, these arguments are right. It harms people, and it does involve illegal behavior, whether it's sex trafficking or otherwise. But the world just seems to yawn at that, staggeringly. In fact, the feminist would say these women are actually empowered because they're making the decision for themselves, and it's their body. Oh, yeah, we know we're right, but it's not winning the day. And I would suggest to you it is because when you're dealing with a darkened mind, they will find any excuse. They will find another poll, another survey, another medical report that says, no, it's not. And off they go to the sin races. We need to be returning to our four biblical words. God says so. He tells us that is evil. It's deforming. It is degrading. That's the message that we need to return to. And that's the point that he ultimately arrives at in this presentation. Anticipating this, conservatives need to recover a distinctly personal case against pornography. It simply won't do to try to elicit post-Christian outrage against porn by emphasizing the possibility of sex trafficking or exploitation. In the era of digitally generated content, the question is not going to be who was hurt making this, because the answer is, well, really, no one. Rather, the question will be, how am I hurt by consuming this, and why is this, here it comes, objectively wrong for me to enjoy? The answer, thus saith the Lord. I know why evangelicals have demurred from those four words. Well, You know, the world doesn't believe the Bible. That's precisely why we quote it. The world thinks that Christians are foolish. And what of it? We know that it's foolish to the world, perhaps. We forgot 1 Corinthians 1, 2, and 3. It is foolishness. We are fools for Christ. And we need to return to invoking an authority that is bigger than a statistic, an observation, an emotional ploy. We need to engage God in this conversation, from his article. This will be uncomfortable because it will force Christians to make moral arguments that appear irredeemably at odds with secular society. That's true. The benefits of emphasizing things like exploitation is that such concepts resonate with non-Christian audiences. There's nothing wrong with seeking this common ground, but the reality is we're not going to have that ground at all very soon. See, I don't think that's actually made much ground personally. But look at the explosion. It's like the number one online industry. Nevertheless, I agree with him about our argument. The arguments against consuming or licensing pornography that will matter in the age of AI will be moralistic arguments. He takes a interesting angle at this, and the destruction that occurs to hearts and emotions by feasting on a fake version of sex that collapses us inward. This is somebody's child will have to become, you are somebody's child. But that still requires that we say, because there are going to be people who deny that. No, it's not bad for me. I got a good job. Six-figure guy. I'm doing fine. Watch porn on the regs. Well, it's hurting you. Nope, it's not. So what do we need in that instance? I agree with this fellow. It does hurt people. But the only way to persuade them is not with our authority, not with our reasoning or logic, but with thus saith the Lord. Quote, it seems like very likely Christians will have to bring God into the discussion. Amen, sir. When there's no one to exploit, there is still God to offend. When there is no one to be trafficked, there is still God who sees. And when there is no one to stand over your shoulder to intervene or care, there is still a God who saves. Thus saith the Lord. This is Wretched Radio.
You know as well as I do, college campuses are battlegrounds. They always have been. Ideas clash, worldviews compete, and somewhere in the middle, students are trying to figure out what's actually true. This year, Fortis Institute showed up. 3 campus visits where we share the gospel and equip students to think clearly. Also, 300,000 Play the Man booklets put directly into the hands of students, giving them tools to push back against the lies they're hearing in classrooms. And look, it's working. Students are waking up. They're asking questions. They're realizing there's another way to think about masculinity, about their faith, and about truth itself. But 3 campuses aren't enough. Next year, we're planning to visit 12 campuses. And also, Todd's new book, Go Serve Your King, releases with HarperCollins next year as well. And here's the opportunity you have right now. Every gift you give through the end of the year is matched. Dollar for dollar match up to $500,000. Your donation literally doubles. FortisInstitute.org. Give now and watch your gift double today. So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh, so they suggested we call it personal brokenness. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Maybe spiritual separation? Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. You have to make him one of many meaningful paths. And the call to repent and believe, that just raises a little bit of friction. How about like and subscribe? We thank them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel, a holy God, real sin, a just wrath, a crucified and risen Savior, and a clear call to repent and believe. And we'll do it kindly, clearly, and without the sales pitch. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. You can listen to your heart's content at FortisPlus.org.
Books of the Bible. Romans was written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Rome.
It is a thorough, systematic presentation of the gospel. The two major themes are sin and righteousness. Sinners are counted righteous by imputation of Christ's righteousness. If you wish to understand the gospel, the clearest, most thorough explanation is in the book of Romans. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Four more words. This is Wretched Radio. Not those four, but here are the new four words. Jimmy has something to say. A little hyphen right there. Say, that's four. I did the math right there on the spot. All right, what?
Well, I was just talking in the break that I think that AI-generated porn is still going to hurt other people and not just ourselves.
In what regard?
It's still going to impact and damage marriages. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's still going to be unrealistic expectations from those that watch it that they'll take back into their marriages.
Agreed.
And then think about the depravity and the increase in depravity, if you can even say there'll be an increase in depravity.
Oh, what they're going to be able to create.
Oh, the types of porn that they'll be able to create. That's going to just be ridiculous.
All right. So here, I'm going to play the role of the pagan. Ooh, I'm going to play the role of the pagan. No, it doesn't destroy every marriage. And we've got sociological data that suggests it actually helps many marriages.
Hmm. Thus saith the Lord.
See, I agree with you. It will continue to hurt people. Whether they agree or not, it does, because that's what sin always accomplishes. It hurts people. It robs God of glory from an obedient child who is swimming in a slough of sin. I agree. But even with that, Jimmy, so you can make the marriage argument, and I agree with you, it is valid, but they're going to reject it. They're simply going to bring to the party an expert. Oh, we talked to Dr. Schwarzenstein. They were interviewed on CNN, who said it's just the opposite. And apparently there was a peer-reviewed study out of Oxford. And we are just left going, so we can bring those arguments. But they always need to be, thus saith the Lord. So if we want to say it's bad for marriage, let me tell you why. This is what the institution is. God created it for this. And any time there is a manifestation of that institution that is not in alignment with what God says, it's going to be bad for people. It's going to be bad for kids because God says so. When you are living in willful rebellion against God and you are immersing yourself in that filth, you are going to become so deformed and corrupted, you aren't even going to know it because God says so. I just think these arguments, I don't think any of these arguments really should go away.
Mm-hmm.
Besides, what makes sex trafficking bad?
Thus saith the Lord.
See, and this is something that I think we've just gotten away from for years now because we don't want to seem like, well, that's going to make me look like a Bible-thumping wingnut. Exactly. Isn't that what we are? What do we have without the Bible? What authority do we possibly have? We're just another chirping voice on the internet. I don't care how many subs you have. You've got no authority. I don't care how many degrees you have. You have no authority. The psychiatry, for this reason alone, it's just always mystifying to me that people buy into it. Who's the authority in all of this? And the answer basically is, well, I am the psychiatrist because I've studied these issues. And who came up with those ideas that you've digested and probably tweaked a little bit to your own level of comfort? Who says that the dream, that dream represented this? When you were acting like this toward that person, that was really you and you were just projecting it. That's the word, projecting it onto another person. How do you know that? How do you know that? Who's the authority that has determined conclusively, once and for all, that's the way it is? And the answer is nobody. Or as Queen Elizabeth said in The Crown, my favorite movie line perhaps ever, nobody. Let me explain that. Like, Jimmy, did I ever tell you this? You didn't watch The Crown, did you?
No, I did not.
See, I'm a good husband. I watched The Crown, the series. There was a fair amount of it that we had to... I mean, there wasn't a ton of it, but it was definitely, you had to keep your finger on the trigger. And Prince Charles had gone up to Wales, delivered a speech in Welsh that wasn't in alignment with Buckingham Palace's desire for his speech. Queen Mum finds out about it. Charles enters into the palace, I believe it was Buckingham, and he has to have the servant, the guard, go ask the queen if she will see her son. Oof. If that's accurate, oof. He enters into her massive bedchambers to explain, "Mummy, I just have so much that I want to say. Nobody wants to hear it. Nobody, meaning the family, or nobody, meaning the nation. Nobody." Oh, brutal. And who wants to hear us? Who are we? We're nothing. We got nothing except God's word. That is the hammer. That is the sword. That is the tool that the Holy Spirit uses to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and justice. We have got to return to quoting the Bible. And I know what you're going to hear. They're just going to bat it away. Excuse me, I thought his word never returned void. It's going to accomplish exactly what he desires for it to accomplish. And we need to start wielding the sword. And we need to start banging the hammer. We need to be quoting the Bible. We need to be engaging people. When we have these conversations that are out in restaurants or in public, we need to be saying, let me just tell you, I'll just put my cards on the table, and you can decide to walk away if you choose. But everything that I'm going to try to say to you is based on God's word. Because otherwise, you have absolutely no reason to listen to me. I'm a guy with an opinion. But I'm going to quote to you the Holy Bible. You do with that as you see fit. And you're going to hear it. Well, I don't think that is true. I know. I'm just telling you what it says. Do that in evangelism too, by the way. We have a tendency to sometimes tiptoe around the gospel and never get there because, well, then they're going to know that's from the Bible. Exactly. Yeah. And they're going to say, well, you know, I just don't believe that's true. I know you don't. I'm just telling you what it says because you have a supernatural arsenal. Unleash it. Here's the code. Quote the Bible. There's your arsenal quote. Code. Quote the Bible. Let the lion out of the cage and let the lion defend himself. Otherwise, I got to tell you, we don't even realize how depraved it is going to become. At this point, we think we've got an idea. I'm just telling you, we can be a whole lot worse. We could be Rome. We could be one of those, what we would call a primitive society, as if those people were dumb. They certainly weren't, but they were definitely depraved. And it was until the Bible came along and said, "Thus saith the Lord," that people stopped some of those public atrocities. Sure, sin happens everywhere. None of us are that naive, but it was the Bible and God's word being applied to Western civilization that flipped everything upside, everything. Marriage got turned up. Attitude toward children got turned. Work, fairness, commerce, how we treat the weak and the infirm, all of it changed with the Bible being applied. And I think we've given up on it. And I think we need to return, because if we don't, you can't even imagine what AI porn is going to. You shouldn't even try to imagine what AI porn is going to look like. It will be individuals sitting in their basements with their depraved and darkened minds who are given license and the tools to create stuff you don't even want to start to ponder. And they're going to, there it is. And somebody's going to want to consume it and they're going to make money. If you had said to civilization, Western civilization 70 years ago, there's going to be a time when people willingly make home pornography and then they put it up on a website. You'd have to explain what that is for the entire world to see so that they can make a little bit of money. Husbands and wives, boyfriends, girlfriends, whatever the configuration is, and it generates $5 billion, which is actually an enormous amount today. 70 years ago, it would have been almost unimaginable. It would have just been like our federal budget or deficit. How much do we, 17 trillion, whatever that is, it would have been considered insane. No, they will not do that. Are you out of your mind? No, I'm telling you, they're going to. And we, right now, if we have learned anything from history, know that the slippery slope does not stop sliding. It's going to get worse. What is the light? What is salt? How did Jesus change things? Nobody quoted the Bible more than Jesus. No, nobody made more Old Testament allusions to the Word of God than Jesus Christ himself. Let's be confident in that. It's funny. It's funny. We see some people who don't believe in the power of the Holy Spirit very much. And we go, oh, well, you don't think that the Holy Spirit is working and active. But I would ask you, are we maybe committing the exact same fallacy when we think that we have to come up with persuasive, logical, rational reasons why people shouldn't behave as opposed to quoting the Word of God? Is it possible? It's because we don't believe that the Holy Spirit can actually use it and flip society's light on again. This is Wretched Radio.